about cancer with those you love. We appreciate your being with us today. We hope that our time together, as well as in the other sessions, I think Friday at 8:30 and again 9:30 and then again Saturday at 3 o'clock, we'll be dealing with some sessions dealing with specific kinds of things that you might find useful and helpful in regard to the idea of cancer. Several years ago, Dr. Burnett said, the only way to begin to understand cancer as a disease is to call it what it is, tear down the wall of silence, close the distance between ourselves and the disease, say the word out loud, and admit the feelings that it raises. If I were in my regular zone of teaching coping with cancer classes in Huntsville, Alabama, we would take a whole session just to tear down that particular descriptive phrase of 5 different components that are extremely important when it comes to dealing with cancer, between that of the cancer survivor and certainly those in his family. Obviously, cancer does not give us in any kind of way a one size fits all. Every situation that a family will find themselves in, including that of the cancer survivor, needs to understand that what others have done may not be exactly what you need to do in that regard, because you are as unique as the individual himself, the kind of cancer that they have, and also their own family. And so therefore, we need to be sure that we don't let someone dictate or squeeze us, as it were, Romans chapter 12, 1 and 2, into the mold of being exactly, well, this is the way we've done it, or we did it, and therefore that's the way that you need to do it as well. That just does not work very well for individuals. So be sure to avoid those kind of things. The influence of cancer is such like that of throwing a rock into a pond, and you start seeing a ripple effect. What most individuals do not understand, particularly cancer survivors and then also their family members, is how that one person's cancer will begin to affect every relationship that they can ever imagine, and then some. You know, it was the English poet, the 16th, 17th writer, John Donne, that said that no man is an island to himself. Paul would say succinctly in Romans chapter 14, verse 7, for none of us live to ourselves and none of us die to ourselves. But when we're dealing with cancer or some other debilitating disease like Alzheimer's, dementia, or other situations, we just cannot begin to understand how that diagnosis, that we'll talk about again Friday morning in regard to the call, that when a diagnosis has been received, how that's going to affect them and their family. Perhaps you knew this, but cancer patients are called cancer survivors. The history for that, National Coalition of Cancer Survivorship, in 1986, they came up with that term survivor because they wanted a cancer patient to know and to be seen as someone that fights against what they are dealing with. And so they wanted a positive kind of phrase to use in that regard. What you may not have known is that those who are the caregivers are called second order patients. In regard to the National Library of Medicine, June 7th, 2019, they mentioned that they are second order in that the first order, obviously, is the survivor themselves. The second order, obviously, are the families, the family members that are also dealing with that kind of situation. Now, here's what we need to remember. The closer the family member is to the situation, to the cancer survivor themselves, the greater potential, the intense feelings that one will experience. That's true in regard to grief, and that's true in regard to cancer. The the closer you are, whether it's a mom, dad, husband, wife, son or daughter, mom, a brother or sister, some other kind of kid, a grandchild, the closer you are in those kind of relationships, then the potential is the more intense feelings and emotions that you're going to have and that they're going to have simply because of the reciprocal relationship that you have with one another. And what we need to remember is those differences, those relationships need to be validated. And it will take time to be able to do that and to understand exactly what's involved in all of us trying to work on this situation together. Well, it's obviously redundant to almost say that the cancer survivor has got to love his family. He's got to understand where they're coming from. And again, that takes energy, that takes time. And again, it may seem to be a little bit, why would I be doing that? Because I'm dealing with cancer. Well, that is true. But they're dealing with your cancer as well. Psychologically, they tell us that in order for life to be successful, we need these five things. We need to be heard. We need to be respected. We need to be understood, we need to be valued, and we need to be loved. If two of those things are lacking in a relationship, then that relationship in life is going to be somewhat diminished. Now, let's take those five things, if we had time to do so, and look at each one of them as they relate to a cancer survivor and their family. Is everyone being listened to? Is everyone being respected? Do we understand what's going on here? Does everyone receive the same kind of value in regard to no one being diminished or as it were, acting as if sometimes, which is the case, the cancer survivor is somewhat overlooked in the room when people are talking about what we need to do next? Are talking back and forth to the doctor. You'd be surprised how I've heard that happen in regard to my classes. And to be loved and what that actually means. Well, again, this refers not just to only family members, but it also certainly cancer survivors need to understand that as well. Well, what do you do when you talk to people about those you love? First of all, normality. We need to remember that the word normal is pretty much out of the vocabulary, particularly when the diagnosis takes place and the protocol begins to be decided. Anything that was normal usually becomes abnormal. Now that doesn't mean forever, but certainly during the time of treatment, during the time of the all the evaluations, all the testing that have to be done, everything becomes a little bit different, a little bit strange. Now, as we said before, the cancer survivor, he or she's gonna be focusing on their cancer. And we understand that. But here's the common denominator that's not there. We don't know how long this is going to take place. You are, as it were, signing a dotted line for something that you don't know when and where it's going to end and what the relationship and what the result is going to be. There is the possibility that roles are going to have to be changed. And again, we'll talk about this for our next lesson together. But who in the family dynamic? Who's going to make some of the decisions? The decision makers are going to have to be dealt with in regard to who's going to decide some of these things. Where are we going to go with this in regard to deciding where we have treatment? What doctors, what group are we going to use? Do we go get second opinions? Do we do other things that are necessary that we think are important? And then there's the communication folks. Every good business has to have a good PR person. They have to have someone that has the ability to get out the word and tell when and what and how those things are going to be said. please do not assume that accurate and useful information or communication about one's condition is just going to take care of itself. That just does not happen. I've heard of horror stories of individuals that wanted to tell their family members in one particular way, closely, very intimately, non-threateningly, and once one individual found out about it, they just happened to mention to a distant relative that decided it was her job to put this all over the internet via Facebook. And the rest of their children, this man's children, heard about their dad's diagnosis via Facebook. That should not have ever happened. So the point is, you've got to have intentional, understood boundaries and intentional, mindful communication that's going to be given so that the information you want out, and that includes not only your family, but to the congregation, to your neighbors, to your friends and others, everyone's off the same page instead of just sort of going here, there, and yonder. I would suggest that we need to feel what we feel. Regardless of one's past history with the idea of cancer, the survivor and the family members are now beginning a journey in cancer. I call it Cancer Land Together. Now, you've never been on this particular journey. You may have been on other journeys in the past, but this one's different. And so we have to remember that as we're beginning this process, and as the family is trying to interact with one another and try to decide which way we're going to go and how we're going to do this, these things, you just don't know what to expect. Because cancer treatment can be extremely challenging. Two things that I would suggest here. Number one, the cancer survivor has got to constantly not only deal with and communicate to the caregiver how everything is going on inside their body, but also what's going on in their caregiver's mind. And you're thinking, well, why would that be important? You want transparency. You want complete honesty. You want everybody on the same page. You want everyone willing to talk about whatever it is that they need to talk about. Whatever they need to feel, that's okay for them to feel that way at that point in time. But you can't, you know, the person that's caregiving for you cannot know what that medication is doing to your body unless you tell them that, and certainly get that word out to the doctor as well. And then secondly, they've got to feel what they feel. They've just got to be honest with one another. At times that may take extreme care and concern because of the seriousness of the situation. But they need to know it's okay to feel what you feel. I would suggest that the caregiver and the survivor both need to talk at times, and then both need to listen at times. And as you're starting out of this protocol, you need to be sure that you schedule times that would be extremely helpful for you in this regard. A lot of people think that they know what their loved one is feeling. They could be very much incorrect. They may think they know what the doctor said. They could also be wrong. One of my ladies in my classes said that as she was dealing with her very serious breast cancer, that she decided no longer to take her daughters with her because she and the daughters, regardless of whether the news was good or not good, would just begin to lose their composure, and they'd all be crying. And she said, I'd be crying because they were crying. And so finally I decided to take my son-in-law, who I love and who loves me, but he was able to, as it were, detach himself away from the situation, take copious notes of exactly what the doctor said. In fact, also I think he had a recorder with him, with the doctor's permission, ask intellectual questions that needed to be asked. And then when they get back home where her daughters would be, they could go back and assess what was said at the doctor appointment. And she said, I can't tell you the many times that I would turn to my son-in-law and said, he said that? She said, I thought I was focusing, but I was not focusing. Because once I heard a particular word or heard a particular diagnosis, everything else went out the window, including my thought process. But having someone there to be able to really listen, not only cognitively, but also emotionally as well, was extremely helpful. Well, let's get practical for just a moment. A few years ago, Lenny Cotton Pogobin, in her interview on Today, was talking about a particular book that she had written, How to Be a Friend to a Friend Who's Sick. And she gave three extremely good suggestions. Number one, tell me what is helpful and what is not helpful to you. Perhaps you would be surprised, but so many individuals' ideas of what is helpful usually not helpful to someone that's dealing with cancer. And it's likely not helpful to the family as well, because if what they do upsets their cancer survivor husband, wife, or whatever the relationship is, guess what? The caregiver's not going to be happy either. Be honest and tell what you think or what you need or what you don't need. Secondly, do you want to be alone or do you want company? There are times in cancer protocol that having someone to sit with you would be extremely helpful. It would perhaps even be more helpful if they didn't say a word. They were just there. There are other times they would like to talk about maybe other things than cancer. They would like to talk about the weather. They would like to talk about the Braves, or the Reds, or the Steelers, or somebody else, some other, they'd like to just get back to regular life again. Do you want company, or do you want to be alone? And then the third thing that she mentioned, tell me what to bring to help you, and then tell me when to leave. People that are dealing with treatment and cancer may have gone through chemo, and the side effects can be extremely debilitating. And someone wants to sit down and talk with you for 45 minutes about everything that's going on, wherever. That's probably not a good time and a place for them to be. And so therefore, someone's going to have to step in and step up and say, hey, thanks so much for coming. But right now, it's good for them. In fact, the doctor has ordered them to rest. So, thanks again for coming and seeing them out. I asked some Christian brethren that were dealing with cancer and have been dealing with cancer for a number of years some personal questions about their treatment, particularly as they would interact with their family. And so, here's some things that they said, based upon their understanding of their dealing with their relationships with their family members. Number one, don't dump your problems on me if I'm struggling to feel well. Now, this would also be true in regard to other debilitating illnesses. But think about it. A cancer survivor that is actively in treatment very likely cannot handle many other issues that have to be handled on the other side of life in regard to the day-to-day affairs and other such things. Perhaps because of surgery, perhaps because of the treatment that they're having to deal with, the medications, could be the radiation, it could be the chemo, it could be a number of things. But here was a lady, if I remember correctly, and she said it was as if they were just oblivious to the idea of what I was going through, and said I just couldn't handle what they were dealing with. Secondly, she, don't evaluate me and continually tell me what to tell the doctor. You'd be surprised how many people get on the internet and find some particular kind of thing that they just know is going to be able to cure you instantly. And so be sure you tell your doctor about this when you, perhaps you've been there before. Here's another one. If I offer to do something like cooking on my good days, allow me to do it without saying, are you sure that you feel like you need rest? I know, as a caregiver, we want the very best for our loved one, and we want to do everything we can to help them. But if they make a statement like that, or they want to go out and wash the car, if they want to go out and at least do something menial in regard to the yard, you know, yes, you're going to watch them. But celebrate their good day, or celebrate the good hours that they're going to have that day, and let them do it within reason. And obviously, you can also have supervision around that, sort of looking around, just watching them. But this individual said, you know, instead of them saying, great, you're going to cook for us, it was just the opposite. And it made me feel so unimportant. During the low times of sickness and weakness, please open your eyes and see a loved one sitting there next to you. That's extremely important. In this regard, someone was saying they were talking over them. I was in the room, the doctor was there, my caregivers were there, and it was as if I just did not exist. I was not there, or I was not invited to the party, so to speak, to converse and to give an opinion about what was going on. So it was like they were just sort of talking over me. And the whole point is see them as valuable. Recognize them in regard to what they can do at that point in time. Another one that they mentioned, stress is not a cancer patient's best friend. Yes, there'll be financial stresses, there'll be conflict stresses, there'll be family stresses, there may be insurance issue stresses, those kind of things. But please, try to keep the stress down as much as possible. I know this would be true of any kind of debilitating illness. If we could get inside their shoes and inside their body for just 5 seconds, we would understand what that individual was going through as best we could within that 5 second range. Yes, stress is not a friend of cancer folks. So we need to be sure that we understand that and help them and try, as it were, to avoid those situations. Here's another one. Understand that my moods may be affected by my treatment. Chemo can do all kinds of harm, not only in the body, but in the kind of very ugly kinds of ways that we probably don't want to talk about in a public forum. Radiation can cause extreme pain. Some of the side effects of medications that are taken can cause all kinds of physical sensations or lack thereof. Well, that has an effect on your moods, on what kind of day that you're having. And of course, everyone that sees you is going to ask you, how are you doing? And you're going to say, typically, I'm fine. One of my first initial classmates there in Huntsville, Alabama said, do you have 10 minutes? And he said, I found out I didn't have many friends that had 10 minutes. He said, but I really meant that. If they didn't have 10 minutes for me, he said, I really didn't want to spend 10 minutes talking to them about all the things that I was going through and what they could do to help me. But understand that, that mood swings are real in regard to dealing with such things as we're talking about here. Also, support and unswerving love are the main things that I need for my family. And then one other, very, very similar to that, love, compassion, caring, forgiveness, understanding, visits, and mostly support is what I need for my family during my cancer fight. I'm sure that can be said about other situations as well. But think about that. Love. Unconditional love? Possibly. Compassion? Going to where they are? That's exactly what we say in regard to the parable of the Samaritan, Luke chapter 10. He got down from the donkey and he went where he was. And he bounded up those wounds. And then put him on his beast of burden, took him to the inn, took care of him, paid for extra care. Going to be where they are. Caring. Forgiveness. Why forgiveness? Think about it. Sometimes dealing with cancer makes you, can make you, and we'll talk about some of the emotions of anger in time to come. But all these, again, all say things about the idea of just how much we really need one another. Well, some practical things. What is it that caregiver families can get or need from others? And this would be certainly true in regard to the patient as well. First of all, sit with the patient to give them time, a respite time away. What would be wrong if it was a congregational situation to say to Miss Sue, now, Miss Sue, when Bill has a good day, anytime this week you give me a call and I'm gonna come. Would 4 hours be okay, or 5? And I'm gonna sit there and let you do whatever you need to do. If you need to stay in the house, that's fine. If you need to go to the grocery store, whatever. That would be extremely helpful to someone that has been there over and over again. There are 43.5 million caregivers in the United States today. The greater majority of them spend 60 plus hours of active caregiving with whatever disease, whatever situation they're dealing with. Do the math. These individuals that are spending 60 plus hours are also working. You don't think they would care for having someone to come and spend some time with them very quickly? Other ideas, grocery list, get online, shop it, have it sent to them, cook food or freeze for later preparations, stay in touch with them, emails, cards, other such things. Take a break and go out, and if not, give them a break or give them a rain check, because emergencies always happen. Arrange for house to be cleared by someone, whether it's ladies from the church or someone else that can come help. Set up schedules. Quickly, do these two things. Lots of helping hands, and also MillTrain.com. Social media situation, you set it up, it does all kinds of wonderful things for the family. They can say, I need someone to take Mr. Bill to the appointment. Miss Sue's gotta go to the doctor visit. And people online that are involved in that particular program can see that a week ahead or 2 weeks ahead, and they can go in and sign up, and everyone's going to know that those roles are taken care of. The same in regard to meals and other such things. Excellent program. All kinds of useful things that can be used within a congregational situation. Get gift cards, particularly close to the family, because that will be extremely helpful, or to the hospital. Arrange for the yard to be taken care of, either by the guys at church or the youth group, because that's the least of their concerns at that point in time. Write thank you notes to help them. Help with laundry if wanted by the family. Be a shower service. Take care of those individuals in that regard, because they, you know, they're not thinking about driving or going to park. They're just thinking about trying to help someone when it comes to those situations of life. Be a, take out a caregiver a meal one by one. Care and Bridge, I'm going to close with that one. Care and Bridge is a great, again, social media program in which someone can, as it were, give a report to individuals that subscribe to that free of charge as to how they're doing that day. Thank you so very much for being with us today. I hope it's been useful and helpful. Again, we'll have our other lectures on Friday. Have a great day. Thank you so much. You're welcome.